think it was last week at this time when I flipped the podium, so maybe I won't do that this time. If you would please turn to 2 Kings, we're going to look at chapter 22. How old was Josiah when he became king?
8 years old.
What had been going on in the two previous kings? About as bad as it had ever been. Worship of the Lord pretty much abandoned. All kinds of false worship going on. 8 years old when he came to the throne. Said he reigned for 31 years. How old was he when he died then? 39. That's not a very long lifetime. What's the judgment of Scripture, verse 2? Is there any qualification of that? Is there any softening of that? This is one of the good ones. How many good kings did Israel have? How many good kings did the northern kingdom have?
None.
How about the southern kingdom?
Three.
Three or four, depending on how you count Jehoshaphat. Asa was pretty good. Jehoshaphat was good. Who were the others?
Hezekiah.
And this one. How old was he when he came to the throne?
8 years
old. What are you likely to do if you're an 8-year-old king?
Somebody else.
You're liable to play with the balls and bats and Nintendos and such and let somebody else take care of things. How old do you have to get before you start beginning to make your own leadership?
40,
Anna said.
Some of us have to get to 80.
80, he says. Moses certainly followed that. What does it say in verse 3? I want to be real careful because I want to know exactly what it says. In my translation, it says in the 18th year of King Josiah. Mine says in the 18th year of King Josiah. What could that mean?
26.
That could mean he's been king for 18 years, in which case he's now 26. Or it could mean
that he's 18 years old.
He's 18 years old. I like to think that he was 18 years old, but I don't know. There is a translation, at least one, that says the 18th year of his reign, but they don't all say that. Does yours say reign? Your translation is like mine. It doesn't have the word reign in there.
Mine doesn't, but the note says Josiah was then 26 years old.
Yeah, that's somebody's guess on what that means, I think.
Right.
Okay? Page doesn't matter. In the 18th year of King Josiah, or the 18th year of his reign, the king did something. The Bible is silent on what he had been doing up till that moment. Mm-hmm. So why are they telling you about this? Because this one matters. What does he do? Do you have a verb there? Do you have a verb? Sent. Who'd he send?
The secretary.
The secretary. What was the secretary's name?
Shaphan.
What was his title?
Secretary.
Scribe. Secretary to the king. Yours may say
scribe.
Okay. Is that an important function? Probably, Hal says with little enthusiasm. Is that an important function?
Yeah. If the king sends you.
Where's the leadership in this church located? What group leads the church? It's not the deacons. Deacons certainly have a big responsibility for caring for folks. It's the ministry coordinating council under the Spirit's leadership. That's where the church looks to have these things aired out. Okay? they're not sure how much authority they have to take action on the part of the church. We're slowly trying to help them see that. They passed a motion at their last meeting. You know what the motion was? When teams meet, they will take minutes. Does that strike you as an interesting motion to take? Anybody want to guess why we took that motion? I'm sorry, why they took that motion, I'm not on HCC, I'm just an interested observer.
Because they weren't doing it before.
Because they weren't taking minutes. You know what happens when you don't take minutes? You don't know what you've decided. Which means what? You can now have somebody else decide that you decided something else. There's no way to prove that that's so or not. Does it matter if you write down things that you talked about?
Yes.
What should the minutes consist of?
Who was there?
What should the minutes consist of? They should consist of... Who was there is probably a good idea. What did you talk about? What's the gist of the discussion? What did you decide to do? And what did you put off doing? And when are you going to take it back up again? Okay? Now, I got to tell you, there was a suggestion at the end of this motion. And the suggestion is that it's hard to participate in a meeting and take notes. That's hard to do. So a suggestion has been made, and it's beginning to wind its way through, that we ought to have a group of people to function as, small drum roll here, scribes, who are not members of the group, who are not participating in the discussion, but who will record what? What'd you talk about? What's the gist of what you talked about? And what decisions did you make? And what did you put off making decisions on? So that the church can have a record of what each team is doing. The church membership was polled last year or early this year, last year I think, by the governance team and was asked, what's the biggest need for the church to function well? Number one was communication. Number two was trust. This addresses both of those. So I'm saying this morning, this guy was the king's scribe. We'd like to find a few people, a couple of dozen maybe, a couple of dozen if we could do it, who could take turns attending meetings and taking minutes. What'd you talk, what the group talk about? What was the gist of what they said? What decisions did they make? And what are they putting off to work on later, and when are they going to take it back up again? You think some of you might do that? I'm giving you some notice. And let me tell you, there's a benefit here that is enormously interesting. If you do this, that means you're attending the meetings, which means you get to find out what happens. And you don't have to be part of the group to get that information. You can go and say, I'd like to take minutes in this group, and you're thinking to yourself, someday down the road I might like to serve there. And you get in there and you say, boy, I could do better than this. Or, whoa, this group is really getting something done. And either way, you might end up saying, I'd like to be part of this. I don't know which one you'd say. But that's a challenge to you. Think about that. Let's pause for a minute. Who was this guy? The king's secretary, the scribe. What was his function? To take notes on. What did they talk about? What was the gist of what they said? What did they decide? What did they put off for some other time?
That ought to be interesting. You know whether they just talk and didn't know do, or whether they did some doing too.
When you don't write it down and you don't write down the decisions, you may find yourself at the next meeting still talking about the same things because you haven't made the decision. You could help, but God help them if you do.
Okay.
You do have to think about stuff.
They tried to get me, but I'm bad at taking
it. No, nobody's tried to get anybody yet. This isn't set up yet. Well, this is, you know, the people in the meetings are supposed to be doing this. Okay. That's the king's secretary. I want you to keep an eye on this guy, and I'm not going to tell you why. But there's something real significant coming, and this guy's involved in that. In the 18th year of King Josiah, he's either 18 or he's 26. What does he do? We don't know what he's been doing before then, but he sends somebody. Who does he send? He sends the secretary, Shaphan. And where did he send him? To the temple of the Lord. I'm still in verse 3. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's he supposed to do there?
Just challenge.
Supposed to talk to the high priest, whose name is Hilkiah. And what are you supposed to tell him? Now you have to read all the way down to verse 7. Because what he tells him is, take the money and get to work. Take the money, get to work. Take the money. Where'd the money come from? People have been contributing. People have been contributing. Melt it down, convert it to currency, and get to work. What are they supposed to do when they get to work? Verse 5. He is to hand the money over to the masters of works attached to the temple of the Lord for them to pay it over to men working on the temple of the Lord to repair the damaged parts of the temple. To the carpenters, to the builders, to the masons, and for buying timber and dressed stone for the temple repairs.
But?
Yeah, don't worry about the last part yet. Don't worry about the last part yet. There's an interesting little bit in verse 7. I'm looking in the middle of verse 5. Hilkiah is to hand the money over to the masters of the work attached to the temple of the Lord for them to pay it over to men who will someday start working on the temple of the Lord. Is that what it says?
Something like
that is not what it says. Read it more carefully. What does it say?
To do it.
No, no, no. Listen carefully. Does it say turn it over to men who someday will work on the temple? Is that what it says? What does it say? Give it to the people who are working on the temple. Now, this isn't a someday the work is going to start. This is the work has already started, and it looks like men may not be being paid. Now, down at the end of verse 7, it says don't bother wasting your time keeping accounts. These are trustworthy people. If they say they need something, give it to them. You kind of okay? Who are the people they're giving it to? Carpenters? Carpenters? Do you see that spot? This is the first of verse 6. What do carpenters do? What do carpenters do? They work with wood, typically to frame it, or maybe to put some kind of covering, like you might put wood veneer on a wall, or you might put wooden floors in, or something like that. The next word in my translation is builders. What does yours have there?
Builders.
Now, that's the third word in my translation. The first word is carpenters. The second word is builders. What is your second word? Does anybody have anything else?
Masons.
Now that's the third word, right? Yours has masons as the second word. Yours has masons, just has masons. Carpenters make just two words. Bill, is that the way with yours too? Just
no, I had builders, masons, and stone cutters.
So you don't have carpenters? Huh. What do builders do?
Supervise the workers.
Well, could be the architects.
Well, they could be the
General contractor. It could be the person who supervises, and it could just be the lowly funds who actually do the work. I don't know which way to read this thing. Masons, what do they do?
Maybe doing the digging.
Stonework and brickwork is what I've seen. Apparently, Wikipedia thinks there's feed masons who handle food for agricultural things, but that didn't seem to me like a very useful thing to be thinking about here. Brick masons and stone masons. And then it says, for buying the timber and the dressed stones, that would be for buying the materials. Mm-hmm. When you have a job, you're going to have materials costs, you're going to have labor costs, mm-hmm. and you're going to have maybe planning costs and maybe tools costs and all this kind of stuff. He says, give the money to them. Okay? Now, verse 7 finishes this thought. In my translation, I have a paragraph that ends there and a new paragraph comes. One presumes that after verse 7, things have been started. Things have been functioning. They've been working. They've been doing the repairs. And now a report starts coming back the other way. Who does it originate with? Verse 8.
Hilkiah.
The high priest, Hilkiah. Who does he speak to?
Shaphan.
Who is? King's secretary. And what does he say?
Found.
I found something. What did he find?
Instruction scroll for the temple.
Yours says instruction scroll for the temple. Mine says the book of the law.
Mm-hmm. In the house of the Lord.
I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. What an odd place to find the book of the law.
It should be there.
Is he implying that this is an unusual place to find it? I don't think so. What's the significance of this report? Shouldn't the book of the law be in the temple?
It wasn't in the ark.
It had been lost.
It had been lost. And nobody knew that it was lost. Much less what was lost. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And what does it say? Shaphan read it. It doesn't say Hilkiah read it, although I suspect he had if he knew what it was. Verse 9 starts out, Shaphan the secretary went to the king. Do you have a sense of, the king says, take the money and get to work. They get to work, they find the book, and the report about the book comes back up the hill.
Is this the first time this has happened? It seems to me back 12 or so, we went through this same thing.
I don't think this was the only time it happened, but I think this was one of the most spectacular times that it happened. Shaphan the secretary went to the king, reporting furthermore to him as follows, quote, the quote is spectacular. Your servants have melted down the silver which was in the temple, have handed it over to the masters of the work attached to the temple of the Lord. What is that so far? We have done what you instructed to be done. And then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, oh, by the way, I think that needs to be in your translation and mine. He's setting it up almost as an afterthought. Oh, by the way, listen carefully. The priest Hilkiah has given me a book. Doesn't say book of the law, although he knows what it is by now. He says, oh, by the way, they found the book. And he proceeded to read it aloud in the king's presence. And what did the king do? Tore his clothes. What's that? Disaster is upon us. And the grief and mourning of, oh my God, what's going to happen now is upon the king. And the king gave the following order to whom? Mine says the priest High is gone. Maybe that's just my translation.
No.
Does yours identify him as high priest?
No.
Or does it just say priest?
No.
I think the king has lowered his opinion of this guy. He gave the following order to the priest. To who else?
Shaphan's
son. Son of Shaphan.
Son of Shaphan, what's his name?
Ahikam.
I think maybe we might want to keep up with that. His son, A-H-I-K-A-N or M?
M.
M.
Son, so there's Shaphan. Here's his son. And his son is significant enough that the king brings him into this group he's about to give an order to. Who else?
Akbar,
the son of Micaiah, and to Shaphan, and to Isaiah, which is real close to Isaiah, and I don't think it's Isaiah. I think Isaiah is dead by now. I think Manasseh had massacred him way back when. And what's his title? The king's servant. Yours says, mine says the king's minister.
Attendant.
Royal servant. Okay. These are high-placed people. And the king is giving the group of these the order. It includes both Shaphan and Hilkiah and three others, including Shaphan's son. Here's the order. Go and consult the Lord on behalf of me and on behalf of the people about the words of the book that has been discovered. for the Lord's furious wrath has been kindled against us, because our ancestors disobeyed the word of the Lord by not doing what this book says they ought to have done. And the implication is, and we were unaware of this. How can you have a temple of the Lord with a high priest in charge of the temple of the Lord, and he doesn't know about the book of the law? What was the old requirement of kings of Israel? They were to write out their own copy of the Torah, the first five books. That the book is the Torah, the first five books. Deuteronomy, Numbers, all the places. They were to write it out themselves. They were to keep it with them and read from it every day. How long has it been since that's been done? Bill, I think it's happened before. I don't think this is the first time that they've forgotten about it, but this is the spectacular one.
Hey, Bill. My note here says that...
Aren't notes great?
Yeah, they
give you things to think about, don't they?
It says that the book here was... Probably hidden away in the temple because of the prior kings.
I would agree with that assessment.
So isn't it possible that if it was hidden away and as people turned away, that the high priests themselves became cold towards the law?
I think that's exactly what's happened. Yes.
So he may not...
It is an indictment of the high priest and of all the priests that they don't know about the book. Whether they know about the existence of this book hidden away, there should have been copies. And it's as if there's the temple, there's the priest, and nobody's got the operator's manual. Do you see the problem? The king did. And the king tore his robes. And now he's giving them an order. What's the order? Consult the Lord on my behalf. Now, time out. How do you consult the Lord on behalf of the king? If they don't know about the book, what else do they not know about? Quickly, you can get there. They don't know how to consult the Lord either. Right? This is not something they have experience doing. That I think you can infer that. And I think the window on that piece of information is about as big as you can expect to see. Verse 14, it names these guys. Where did they go? They did not go to the Lord. Where did they go? They went to a woman. In our day, we are hearing women shouldn't do this, women shouldn't do that. This is one of the places I look in the Bible to say poppycock to that particular statement. I should be standing on my dangerous ground sign as I say that. There are people who believe strongly. Who's the person who has kept the flame alive? Here's this woman. Where does she work? It says she worked as the wife of the person who kept the wardrobe. The king... His robe needs to have a little stitching in it, or it needs to be washed, or it needs to do whatever. Okay, I'm hoping you're washing your shirt in between Sundays, but maybe there's a mistress of wardrobe over here.
Okay.
They put the matter to her. Verse 15, and she replies, and you realize God has now been consulted. She replies, God says this.
And they listen to
it? When she says it with the authority she says it, you bet they listen.
Bill, mine says something that she dwells in the Jerusalem
section 4. Mine says the new town. It has sections and all this, and apparently this was one of the places that she wasn't living in the old and settled parts. If you were in Houston, you'd be in Sharpstown and not Memorial Drive. Okay. You'd be in Midlothian and not the trendy West End. Okay. Here is the reply from God. What is this woman's name?
Huldah.
Huldah. You want to suggest a name for a daughter? There's a good one. I don't think it's going to pass the muster of how it sounds, but boy, the person that represents and honors is a pretty impressive one. Yes?
My mother's name was Mahalda.
Was it? Outstanding. Your ma was Huldah. Mahalda.
That's interesting.
To the man who sent you to me, God says. Did you see that structure? To the man who sent you to me, God says. What does he say? Disaster is on the way on this place and on the people who live here. It is a just consequence of their actions. They abandoned me. They seemed deliberately to have acted in a way that provokes my anger. The disaster is coming and nothing can stop it. That's a summary of what you see. How's that for good news? If you're 18 or if you're 26, what was Josiah trying to do? He's trying to repair the temple. What a wonderful thing to try to do. He enlists people to help him with this. What a wonderful thing to try to do.
And they were trustworthy.
Can I tell you a conversation that I had Friday night? There's a church that has problems with its building. People are trying to figure out how to fix the problems with the building. You got standing water in the crawl space. Air conditioning doesn't work. The intake for the boiler is covered with water. They don't know what they're going to do to fix the building. And then somebody at the table says, but that's not our problem. Who cares what's going on with the business? The church isn't functioning. We're not reaching the people around that church for the Lord. That's what we need to be worried about. You don't know what you just heard. He's trying to fix up the building. And what's supposed to be happening in the building is not there. I got hit between the eyes when I looked at this last night to just remind myself of what I was going to do today and realized I heard a conversation on Friday night that fits this perfectly. The church building needs some repairs. And it does. But if what the church is doing is ineffective and completely disconnected with what it should be doing, you almost think, who cares? Is this a sobering thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Look at the king. He recognizes this. Do you see it? Mm-hmm. He recognizes this. Now, she's still speaking, and she says in verse 18, as for the king of Judah, she now steps up from this man who sent you to me. She now gives him back his title, this king of Judah who sent you to consult the Lord. Say this to him, regarding the words you have heard. And at this point, there's an ellipse. Don't know if there's something that used to be there that isn't there, but there's a break in the text. And then when it picks back up, it says, but... Now she's still quoting God. Since your heart has been touched, since you have humbled yourself before the Lord on hearing what I have decreed about this place and about the people who live there and about how they will become an object of horror and cursing, and since you have torn your clothes and since you have wept before me, I too have heard. The Lord says this, when I gather you to your ancestors, you will be gathered to your grave in peace. You won't live to see the great disaster. I'm going to give you time to live your life out at peace, but the disaster is still coming. Okay. We have, unfortunately, run out of time at the exact point where I don't want to run out of time. I want to deal with this right now, and I can't. So here's the question I want you to ponder as you come back next week. We probably won't take this up. I don't know if we'll take this up next week or the week after. What do you do then? If you're the king and you have heard this clear word from God, what do you do now?
Do you think God gave him the power because he knew he was going to try to put it right with the people?
I don't know if it's that simple, but maybe. God has said pretty clearly, disaster is coming. I'm going to postpone it a while. I'm going to give you a chance to live out your life. He didn't live too long. You might also look at how he died. He died picking a fight with the king of Egypt, and they killed him. But the question is, what do you do now? And here's the thing. That's the most important question there is. When you're out trying to fix the church building, which needs to be fixed, and all of a sudden God calls you up short and says, wait a minute, what the church is trying to do in that building isn't where it needs to be. And I don't have very good news about the future of that particular place. What do you do now? And I'd like you to feel that wrestling and then look at what Josiah did. What's your assignment for next week? Read the rest of 2 Kings. And? Find Josiah in 2 Chronicles and? Read the rest of 2 Chronicles. And I wish I had another 45 minutes. I hate breaking here. I hate breaking here. But the clock on the wall says I have to. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, I can hardly imagine getting news like this. And yet, obstinate and dull as I sometimes seem to be, I sure see a parallel to what I heard Friday night. So God, be merciful to us. What we deserve, hold it off. Give us guidance. Give us a sense of direction on how we function as a church ought to function. For I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.